You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Rima Khreis. So tomorrow is going to be a pretty crucial day. That's when we'll get July's job numbers, which will give us a better sense of this economy and could, of course, sway the Fed when making their next interest rate decision. But today, right now, we're going to take a look at unemployment. First-time claims for unemployment ticked up a bit last week to 260,000, up more than 50% since it hit an all-time low back in March. Now, all of that might be causing some angst at state unemployment agencies. Back in the early days of the pandemic, you might remember all those antiquated computer systems that crashed, how people were on hold for hours and hours, and how states dealt with massive processing delays. So, we asked Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, how ready is this economy if we see yet another spike in unemployment claims?
There is some good news for unemployment insurance systems around the country, says Andrew Stettner at the Century Foundation.
The Biden administration, they've tried to go at low-hanging fruit, so trying to identify the business processes that slow things down, try to get the states to fix them.
Some states have launched big IT overhauls, but they won't roll out until the mid-2020s.
You know, we may have a recession before those new programs are put into place.
Congress gave the Labor Department $2 billion in pandemic relief funds to help states upgrade their unemployment programs. Michelle Evermore is a deputy director at the agency.
We've deployed teams of experts now to 24 different states, and they actually get into the system, understand what are the hindrances to paying benefits on time, to paying benefits equally, to making sure that they don't go to fraudsters.
Pennsylvania has already revamped its unemployment insurance technology. Julia Simon Michelle is a supervising attorney at Philadelphia Legal Assistance and serves on a national task force on UI.
Things are moving more quickly now than they were during the pandemic. Unfortunately, that's a pretty low bar.
She says the new system is internet-based, which is easier and more efficient for state workers who manage the program. But many low-income and immigrant workers don't have easy internet access or proficiency in English.
For most of the people we see, they are still struggling to navigate the system, to handle new technology, and it's still very difficult to reach the Department of Labor and Industry and get any answers.
Meanwhile, there are widespread staffing shortages at unemployment agencies across the country, as the Labor Department's Michelle Evermore told a congressional hearing last week.
Turnover has been very high, further decreasing the limited capacity. Unless we invest in staff and systems, they will be less effective in responding to the next crisis.
Even if states solve their staffing and technology problems, there are still big disparities between them when it comes to who's eligible, how much they get, and how long they get it. Jenna Gary is a senior staff attorney at the National Employment Law Project.
The pandemic really exposed the longstanding systemic issues in the UI system that leaves far too many workers, particularly our Black and women workers, shut out of the system entirely.
That's because most states disqualify part-time workers, temps, people who earned too little money in previous quarters, and independent contractors. And Gary says states have been cutting the duration of benefits, which nationwide was 26 weeks going into the pandemic.
We're actually up to 13 states that now offer less than 26 weeks, which a few offering as little as 12 weeks of benefits.
States have also been reducing eligibility by tightening job search requirements, for instance, says the Century Foundation's Andrew Stettner.
Less than 3 out of 10 unemployed individuals are receiving an unemployment check.
That's less than half the percentage at the height of the pandemic. Finally, in spite of recent technology upgrades, most people who file are still waiting a long time before benefits start to flow, says Julia Simon Michelle at Philadelphia Legal Assistance.
People are not getting paid right now at the most vital time, which is the first 2 months after somebody loses a job, the first time that rent payment comes due after you've stopped receiving a paycheck.
The federal standard is that states act on 80% of benefit claims within 3 weeks. Only 6 states meet that standard right now. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
All right, now on to another economic indicator. This morning, we learned by way of the Commerce Department that the trade deficit fell in June by more than 6%. Now, why is that exactly? Well, first, imports fell slightly because we, the consumers, haven't been buying as much stuff this year. But really, a big reason why the trade gap narrowed in June is because U.S. exports rose. It actually hit a record. Marketplace's Justin Ho explains.
A big reason U.S. exports have jumped is because we've been sending a lot of liquefied natural gas, LNG, to Europe. Economist Philip Verleger at the Niskanen Center says Russia's invasion of Ukraine has forced Europe to look for alternatives to Russian gas.
The U.S. happened to be constructing new LNG facilities across the Gulf, and Europe is going to buy as much as they can.
Russia's invasion is also causing countries in Europe, the Middle East, and North Africa to look for alternatives to Ukrainian wheat and corn.
So the United States was able to see some export business pick up.
That's Naomi Bloom at Total Farm Marketing. She says the U.S. has plenty of grain. Parts of Iowa, Indiana, and Illinois have gotten decent rain this year. And Bloom says the U.S. is well equipped to export that grain, too.
We can send it out through New Orleans. We can send it out through the Pacific Northwest. We have grain that might be on the eastern part of our growing region that can go out St. Lawrence Seaway or go out those southeastern U.S. ports.
The U.S. isn't just exporting more goods. It's services, too, like travel. And that spending can count as an export, too, says Teresa Fort, a professor at Dartmouth.
And so some of the service exports we see are likely a tourist coming into the United States, right, and consuming services here.
And Fort says the boost in exports of goods and services is happening while the U.S. dollar is strong, making American exports more expensive. Fort says if that weren't the case, exports might be even higher. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.